Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 10, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 20, where Pastor Dave brings up the point that there is comfort in talking to someone who can relate to you in a time of trial. In today's text, we'll see that Jesus is acquainted with every sorrow that we have, and he relates to every pain that we have experienced. He truly is a God who cares. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Leviticus chapter 10.
That's a little harsh of you. Your loved ones just died, and you just put them in a robe, and you just throw them outside the camp, and how heartless can you be? Then that's the most difficult thing as a Christian, is that the world will accuse you of something that you're not, and not defending yourself is one of the most difficult things, isn't it, saints? Just zipping the lip. It's always been an issue for me, but it hasn't gotten any easier, to be honest with you. I mean, if something's true about me and you say it, okay, what am I going to do? It's true. I can't defend myself, but I can't stand when you... There's enough truth that you can come against me with, but you got to make up lies. That's a low blow, and that's hard for me to zip the lip about. But God calls me to. He says, I'm your defense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Keep your mouth quiet. If you try to put out fire, you're going to create fire. Let me defend you. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're getting ridiculed, persecuted by someone that they're affecting you. It's messing you up in the mind, and you don't like what they're saying about you and the reputation that's being developed because of their words. God would say to you, just be still. I am God. I've got this under control. I will defend you. I will deal with this for you. You just seek me. God knows we are not good at multitasking here. If I start getting distracted with putting out this fire and defending myself, I'm no longer standing up for and proclaiming the name of Jesus. I'm too busy worrying about what people think about me. They dumped him out of the camp. They did what the Lord said through Moses. And Moses said unto Aaron in verse 6, and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, those are his third and fourth sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. But you, verse 7, you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And you betcha they did according to the word of Moses. Listen, you guys are my representatives, says the Lord. You guys are dressed, decked out, adorned in priestly garments. You have the anointing oil, a scent that nobody else has but you. You guys are set apart for the work of the Lord. If you go out there and mourn and weep and put on this show for the people, they are going to accuse God falsely, unjustly, wrongly. They're going to say how harsh God is. How mean God is, when in all reality, this was for the good of the people. He was establishing, he was reaffirming who he is, his holiness, and the beginning of this new movement, and the beginning of this new work. It was necessary. And down the road, they would see that. But he's saying to them here, if you go out there and you tear your clothes, which is a sign of mourning, and you go out there pouting and crying and get pitied on by the people, they're going to develop this thought of God as an unfair God. I get this. Because so many people, they look to folks who are in a place of ministry and prominence there, and anything that person does, that's their imagery of who God is. And so if I, as a pastor, if I go before my unsaved family, or if I go before my unsaved friends, for instance, let's say with Josiah, who's been suffering for so many years with so many different health issues, and I get around them and I say, I can't believe this is happening here, and I pout and I stomp my feet and I rip my shirt and like Hulk Hogan, and I act like, oh man, this is the God, I'm misrepresenting who he is. Now, if I want to do that in my prayer closet and wrestle it out with the Lord and have him set me straight, that's different. But when I'm before people as his priest, as his representative, which, by the way, you are too. You are kings and priests. And I want a pity party, and I want people from the world to pat me on the back. What I have to do is I have to have a spiritual maturity to understand that these people might have a misunderstanding of who the Lord really is because of my misbehavior. Put on your game face sometimes. Lord, give me the grace to stand in front of these people so that I don't misportray you, your goodness and your faithfulness and your holiness and your rightness in this matter. Yes, Lord, I'm broken inside and I'm hurting inside that this suffering is taking place in my life. The Lord's okay with that, but he's saying, but don't go out in public and put on this show so that you get the recognition of man, because they are going to have a wrong picture in their head of who I am because of your actions. I think that's important for us to understand, because a lot of Christians I hear constantly are murmuring and complaining. Oh, I don't have a job. Oh, my kid's sick, or my spouse died, or I'm going through this. And there are real problems, and I get that, and I'm not being demeaning towards it. I understand that. I hear your heart, and I think your case is legitimate. But the thing is that the people that don't know Jesus, this is the only Jesus that they'll ever see. And whether you realize it or not, they're going to associate your problems with God's unfairness. Look. How many times have you heard this before, saints? Look, you follow God, you go to church 2-3 times a week, and look, this is why I don't follow God. Because people like you are suffering right now. I've heard this concerning Scott Mason already. Here's a man who loved the Lord, who dedicated his life to the Lord, and he dies of a torturous death of cancer. This is what, how could a God of love do this? How many times have you guys heard this before? There's no God, 360, you know, all the days of the year. Then all of a sudden somebody gets sick or suffers or goes through something, and it's God's fault. I don't want to add to that blame of God is what I'm trying to say to you. I don't want to give people a place to point their finger at the Lord. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it fine. But I don't want to contribute to that foolishness. And neither, the Lord doesn't want us to either. Plus, what are we showing them that we have that they don't? If I'm pouting on my face, acting like a schoolgirl about something that I'm going through, and they see that, what about my life is going to make them want the Jesus that I have? I might as well stay in the condition I'm in. I might as well stay in the state I'm in. Do what I've been doing to get through life anyways, because clearly your God isn't helping you out. It gives occasion for the heathen to mock, to scorn, to demean who the Lord is. I have wrestling matches with the Lord in my prayer closet. I tell him how I really feel and ask him, and I pout and I go through fits many times before him. But by his grace, I ask him to keep me from doing that in public so that I don't stumble my brothers or people who don't even know Jesus. The Lord spoke in verse 8 to Aaron. Believe it or not, that's a very important verse. You might want to make note of this, that this is the only recorded instance of the Lord speaking to Aaron in the book of Leviticus. This is his high priest. This is his main representative. This is God's man. And this is the only recorded instance in the book of Leviticus that we have that says that the Lord spake to Aaron. And I believe this. Do what you want with it, be that as it may, if you don't agree with what I'm going to share with you. But I think this, that the father relates the heartbreak of losing a son, and out of his compassion and mercy and grace, he speaks a word to Aaron. Aaron just lost two of his boys. Let's not be emotionless through this text. Let's not act like super spiritual saints through this text. Again, imagine what Aaron's feeling here. His inauguration just took place. It's the day of it. They're on a mountaintop worshiping the Lord, experiencing the Shekinah glory, and now 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, whatever it was, his boys are dead. They had been devoured by fire, and they've been cast out of the camp so that their sinful influence wouldn't be upon the people. And it says that the Lord spoke to Aaron. Don't you love that about our God? He knows when you need him to speak to you. He knows when you need him to come down and to whisper something into your ear that is of a truth, that will bring perspective, that will bring healing and comfort to you. He knows to prompt the preacher's lips to say something that he was never planning on saying just for you. He knows when you're going to dial in on the radio on 997, you're going to catch that teacher say something just that you needed to hear that day in that moment. He is a good God. He is a faithful, loving God. He ministered to me on Monday morning that he is the God of the hills and he is the God of the valleys. As I've been reading about the life of Elijah, now I'm into the life of Elisha, and I've been reading about these guys. And in my text on Monday morning, in my private devotions, just me and Jesus, my favorite time, he spoke to me that he is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys, and I'm to glorify him in both places. I didn't know why, but I ask him every morning, Lord, speak to me. Give me my portion for that day. Sufficient is the evil of the day thereof. I don't even go to tomorrow. I can't handle tomorrow. Speak to me for today. And that day was a day full of valleys. No wonder why he gave me that word. And I remember that afternoon because Charlo, my son, he was running in the bathroom Monday afternoon around lunchtime, and he fell. His feet came out from underneath him, and his face, the toilet broke his fall on his face, and he landed on the front part of his lip here, and the casing of his gums came down around his front teeth, and blood was gushing everywhere. And I was meeting with the funeral director and the Masons at the time, and Shauna calls me, and she says, his skin is stuck in between his teeth. His casing has become loose from his gums. I don't know what to do, and I'm all the way out in Hilton, so I said, you have to wait till I get back. There's nothing I can do in the meantime. And I get him, and we go to the dentist, and I'm sitting in the dentist, and he's screaming, and they're prying his mouth open. You parents have been there before. You know what this is like. And the casing of his gum was, at that point, hanging down. And the Lord spoke to me. I'm the God of the valleys, and I'm the God of the mountaintops. Okay, Lord, I'm going to glorify you in this. If anything else, it would be a great sermon story. Thank you. He knows when we need him to speak to us, doesn't he? No wonder why in John 10 it says that my sheep hear and they know my voice. Because we've all heard it from time to time, haven't we? Maybe not an audible voice. I will not proclaim that I've heard that. But we know when his spirit impresses something on our hearts and what is said, what is spoken through our devotion or through the teacher, the preacher, or the radio guy, we know that was just for us. And there's nothing like that, is there, saints? When God speaks something to you, there is no ecstasy like that. There is no excitement like that. There is nothing that excites me more than when I get a word from the Lord. And the Lord, who's experienced the heartbreak of losing his son, speaks to a father who just lost his two boys. Talk about a God of compassion. Talk about a God who can relate to every sorrow and every trial that we've ever been through. Hey, did you know that tonight before we move through the rest of this text? That Jesus is acquainted with all of your sorrow. Every single area that you've been tempted in, he's been tempted in. He walked this earth for some 33 years. He's been burned by a buddy before. He's been let down by somebody he put his expectation in before. He's been done wrong before. He's been backstabbed before. He relates to every pain and every bit of sorrow that you have ever experienced and are presently experiencing right now. He's lost loved ones before. He's experienced death and sickness before. I believe he would say to you tonight that he knows what you're going through. He can relate. And there's something very comforting about talking to somebody who can relate to what you're going through, isn't there? I mean, when I could talk to somebody about something that I'm going through, it's nice to vent sometimes and have their ear, but it's altogether different when they can, after I've paused, look me in the eyes and say, I've been through something similar to that. Here's my story, and their story parallels my story almost to a T. It does something to your soul, doesn't it? That's what your God, if it's Jesus Christ tonight, can do with you. I get it. I hear, I understand you. So many times I can only say to my wife, I hear you. Not even I'm always listening to you. I can hear you at least. But I don't know what in the world you're talking, where you're coming from. I don't know what you're talking about. But God says, I can understand you. I'm listening attentively to you. I've been there. The Lord spake unto Aaron. And he gave him this very important word, which will be our last point of tonight's message. And I'm not going to skip it. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink. In other words, don't be intoxicated. You or your sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, notice, lest you die. It shall be, it says, a statute forever throughout your generations. Do not be drinking and do not be drunk when you're serving the Lord. I believe that is a word for us today just as much as it was for Aaron and his boys thousands of years ago. I don't care what any popular pastor or teacher says or what a movement is embracing. I only care about what the Bible says and the Bible stance. The Bible says right here, more explicitly, what God says right here is he does not want us to be drinking or to be drunk when we are serving the Lord. I believe this is a word for every servant at Calvary Chapel of the West Side. I do not think that this is just a word that should be spoken at a pastor's conference and just for the elders and pastors of a church because we are told not to be giving ourselves to any bit of alcohol. I believe that this is for the servants of the church here at Calvary Chapel of the West Side. I believe that the Lord wants me to make this point loud and clear that we are not to be giving ourselves to drunkenness or even to drinking at all when we are in the service of the Lord. It's a serious issue, drinking, intoxication, alcohol in the United States of America. Over $50 billion a year annually is spent on alcoholic beverages. And we are in an economic slump. Over $50 billion a year. For every drug addict, per one drug addict, there are 15 alcoholics. One out of every 15 people who take a sip of a drink for the first time becomes an alcoholic. A few statistics on this. Among the sobering statistics about alcohol consumption in the U.S., in 2010, 211 children were killed in drunk driving crashes. Out of those 211 deaths, 131, which for those of you who are interested, that's 62%, were riding with a drunk driver. Also, adults who drank too much and got behind the wheel amounted to 112 million times, and that's 3 years ago. That is almost 300,000 incidents of drinking and driving each day, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Perhaps one of the most revealing statistics about the harm of alcohol abuse is that 3 out of every 4 convicted jail inmates were involved in alcohol or drugs at the time of their current offense, according to the statistics cited on the faith-based recovery website, martyangelo.com. 3 out of every 4 inmates, there was some type of relation to alcohol at their arrest. I'm making a point here. There's something that I want to be said. Drinking will never, ever make anything better. It will only make things worse. The Bible is full of examples of that. There's many illustrations of drunkenness in the Bible, and each illustration is an illustration of disaster. Just to name a few, Noah, he became drunk, and in his nakedness, he acted shamelessly. You remember that event. Lot, he became drunk, and his daughters committed incest with him. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 had a drunken feast, a festival, and he worshiped his false gods, and that very night he lost his kingdom. Many people are losing their kingdoms, their families, their careers, their ministries, and their lives because of drinking. Over $50 billion a year in this industry. God says, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to represent me, then be ye being filled with the Spirit of God, perfect present tense, and do not be drunk with wine. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, if you read it this morning, the first verse said this, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In the New Living Translation, it renders it this way. Wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray, or the NASB puts it, intoxicated by drink, cannot be wise. Proverbs 31, the book of wisdom, verse 4, says this, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law. There's ramifications. You drink, your mind becomes tainted. You're not as sharp. You're not as discerning. You obviously don't know what you're doing as well as you do when you're sober. And he says in this instance, spiritually speaking, you pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to those that perish and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. But folks, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Jesus. A Budweiser or Jack Daniels should not be our crutch. Jesus Christ should be. And if you're teaching our children, if you're ushering at the doors, if you're serving in the sound ministry, if you're in any capacity of ministry in this fellowship, and if one of my elders here tonight, if you disagree with me, feel free to raise your hand. But I feel very strongly that in your service, you should not be coming here after you've been drinking or if you are drunk. Do you have the liberty to have a drink? Absolutely. I cannot sit here tonight and say to you that you do not have the grace to have a glass of red wine before you go to bed or at dinner in the privacy of your home. That's between you and God. I have a strong conviction not to do so. Reason being, I have three little mini-me's at home that watch every single thing that I do, and more is caught than taught by them in my life. And I can't think of one good thing that comes from drinking a glass of red wine or having a beer and them watching me and seeing me do that. Well, it's good for my heart. There's a lot of good things for my heart, and there's a lot of good things, bad things for my heart, and I do those things still too. You see, that's an excuse so many times. An excuse is a lie in disguise. If I'm going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to be a representative of the Lord, the standards are raised. The standards are higher. Paul said, yes, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Yeah, I have the liberty to do certain things, but what I do sometimes isn't always edifying. Well, what if I don't have a conviction, Pastor? What if I'm not on schedule that week and I'm at Black and Blue having a nice steak and I want to have a drink with my friends and it's a nice occasion, it's a celebratory occasion, and I want to be out and I'm not serving that Sunday, it's a Saturday night, and I want to have a glass or two of red wine. Is that okay? It's not drunkenness. First of all, let me say this. I think we would all agree that no one here is talking about if drunkenness is okay or not okay, right? We know very clearly the scriptures say that drunkards cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You all know that, right? And I'm not just picking on drunkards. Drunkards, idolaters, adulterers, I mean, the whole list, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think the issue tonight or ever, if you really know the word, is drunkenness. I think the issue is the liberty to drink. Everybody with me? So somebody says to me tonight, maybe you're thinking right now in your head, I'm a servant, but I'm not serving that week. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to church that morning. I'm out. It's a weekend. It's an off night, so to speak, which there should never be off nights in the Christianity.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.